Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. It sure is great to get out of that bag. January 1984. It took a monumental effort, fueled by inordinate amounts of chocolate-covered espresso beans, to finally finish the first release of the Macintosh software for the launch. The team finished with literally no time to spare, shipping the golden master of the write and paint disc to the factory at 6 a.m. on January 16th, just 1 week before the Mac's introduction. By that point, most of the software team hadn't slept for days, so we all went home to collapse. I thought I would need to sleep for at least 24 hours, but I woke up after 6 hours with a desire to go back to Apple to see if the release held up and see how everyone else was feeling. By 5 o'clock in the afternoon, most of the software team had dragged themselves back for the same reason, lounging around in a tired daze, happy that we had finally shipped, but still not quite believing it. Suddenly, Steve Jobs strode into the software area. "Hey, pick yourselves up off the floor. You're not done yet." "Uh-oh," I thought. Someone must have found a showstopper in the release, and we're going to have to track it down. But that wasn't what Steve meant. "We need a demo for the introduction. The Mac deserves to have a great demo for its first public showing. I want the Mac to play the theme from Chariots of Fire while it's showing a slideshow of the apps, plus lots of other cool stuff, whatever you can come up with. And it needs to be done by the weekend to be ready for the rehearsals." We moaned and groaned about being tired, but as we talked, we thought it would be fun to cook up something impressive. We were too tired to think about the details, but when we came back the next day, a plan started to emerge. Steve Capps had an idea to use a gigantic font to scroll Macintosh across the screen, one letter at a time, to start the demo. He also began work on the slideshow. Bruce Horn wanted to do a starry night with twinkling stars and a skywriter writing Macintosh in cursive script across the night sky. Susan worked on an intro graphic of the Mac sitting in its canvas carrying bag and other graphics for the slideshow. I integrated all the pieces and signed up for the Chariots of Fire music part since nobody else wanted to do that. It's hard to write a music editor and player in 2 days, but I managed to put something together that could actually play the Chariots of Fire theme. It used simple sine waves without any envelope shaping and didn't sound very good as a result. Steve immediately rejected it as lousy, which it was, and opted to use a CD player in the background instead. As we worked, Mike Boych came by with Mark Barton, a third-party developer who had been seeded with an early Macintosh. Mark had written an impressive program for the Apple II called SAM, the Software Automatic Mouth, that converted text into speech with a distinctive, winning personality. I had helped Mark with sound driver issues during SAM's development, and now the software had come to fruition. SAM sounded even better on the Mac because we had 8 bits per sample and a higher sampling rate. When Steve heard SAM talk, he immediately decreed that we had to incorporate SAM into the demo. "I want the Macintosh to be the first computer to introduce itself," he insisted. He told Mike Boych to quickly cut a deal with Mark so Apple could bundle SAM, rechristened Macintosh, and use it in the intro. Since my music generator had fallen through, I took on the job of incorporating SAM into our demo. I knew that I wasn't clever enough to be the Mac's speechwriter, and I think it was Susan who had the idea of asking Steve Hayden, Chiat Day's head writer, to help. Steve had conceived the 1984 commercial and was as clever as they came. He was excited about helping and came up with something overnight. Once we integrated all the pieces, the demo wasn't even close to being able to run on a standard 128 kilobyte Macintosh. Fortunately, we had 2 prototype Macintoshes with 512 kilobytes of RAM in the lab, so we decided to cheat a little and use one of them for the demo. The demo started out with Susan's graphic of the Mac hidden in its carrying bag on a curtained stage, displayed while the program prepared Capps' big letters. Suddenly, the music, played from a CD, swelled, and Capps' big letters scrolled nimbly across the screen, spelling out Macintosh. The screen transitioned to Bruce's Skywriter and then to screenshots of different applications, including Microsoft's Multiplan and Chart. Finally, the music stopped and the screen went blank while the demo waited for Steve to press the mouse button. When he did, the Mac started to speak in strange but somehow endearing tones.
Hello, I'm Macintosh. It sure is great to get out of that bag. Unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I'd like to share with you a maxim I thought of the first time I met an IBM mainframe. Never trust a computer you can't lift. Obviously I can talk, but right now I'd like to sit back and listen. So it is with considerable pride that I introduce a man who's been like a father to me, Steve Jobs.